Good morning, everyone. A hearty greeting from the New Bothwell Summerfeld Church. It's a joy to be connected again to you as you listen this morning. And I greet you with the words that Paul used, and it is my, even from my heart, the same greeting to you as Paul says it. And I want to share that with you. Grace be to you, and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. That peace that I am wishing for you and for myself does not come from us. It does not come from the world. That peace does not come from there. But that peace comes from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why I'm wishing you that during this season, during this time that we are going through, that you and I will find that peace within our heart. Last Sunday, I spoke on John the Baptist about the Spirit coming, the angel Gabriel coming to Zacharias and telling Zacharias that they were going to have a son in their old age, preparing them for what was to come. Today I want to continue on John and who John was and what he did. But this morning, I want to bid you all a hearty welcome as you're listening this morning, and that we could together be edified in God's word. And though we are in a time where we cannot fellowship together as believers in God's house, we can still fellowship with his word. And let's praise him for that. In Luke chapter 1, Luke chapter 1, verse 80, it describes John in a very nice way and what who he was and how he was going to be in a way. And it says there in the child, again, Luke 1, verse 80, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit and was in the deserts till the day of his shewing unto Israel. John was a child, just like you and I were. But he grew, and he waxed strong in spirit. Before we go on with this message, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I made mindful of the strength and the power of you to come down upon each one. The strength and the strongness that we get in the Spirit does not come upon ourselves by getting it by ourselves to purchase it, but it comes from you, God. And to you, we come and say thank you, that Spirit is open and free for everyone. Lord, I understand that not everyone has accepted that Spirit. And I pray that Spirit of yours may flow freely today, so that there's those that possibly have not accepted, that your Spirit will nudge them. I pray, Lord, that as we partake of this message, that you will speak those words that you want. Put me aside and put yourself here to speak to everyone that's listening or may listen to this someday. I pray for your Spirit's guidance. I pray for your blessing upon those that are mourning the loss of the loved ones. I pray, Lord, that you would give them increased strength. And Lord, that you would just empower them with your love and your nearness of your Holy Spirit. This I pray in your precious name. Amen. In Luke chapter 1, as last Sunday I spoke about how the angel Gabriel came to Zacharias and told him about the son they were going to have, and he turned dumb, we could say. He could not speak. He was muted with his voice. And God had, through Gabriel, told him who this man was going to be. He was going to go ahead and prepare the way for the one that was supposed to come after, who is Jesus Christ. But it tells us in Luke 1, verse 57 on, that it was now the time of Elizabeth to bring forth a son, and it was John that she brought forth, her firstborn, or I understand the only one. She delivered this son. And you know, after she had delivered this son, it tells us that her neighbors and her cousins, verse 58, heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. They were excited. They were just in great awe and great wonder and in great joy of what had happened. Here, this neighbor lady of theirs, their cousin, in her old age, she now had a child. And they were excited with her. Where this couple, Zacharias and Elizabeth, had waited so long for this, they now could have their own child. And as was custom, on the eighth day, that they would take the, if it was a male, they would get him circumcised. But also on the eighth day was the day that they would give the name to the child. And this was the eighth day. And at this point, Zacharias still cannot speak. And the boy's already 8 days old. And they bring him to get circumcised. And they are to give him his name. And the people there were saying, you know, we'll call him Zacharias. And his mother says, no. He will not be called Zacharias. His name is going to be John. And I guess for them, it was a tradition. You named it after the father, your son. And so they kind of made a sign towards Zacharias as to, hey, Zacharias, what do you say? What is your opinion on the name? And so Zacharias asked for a table because he could not speak, so they brought a board to him, a table, and he wrote on there and he said, in his writing, he says, his name is John. And they were all marveled. They could not quite grasp this. But you see, this was something that God, through the Gabriel, through the angel, said to Zacharias, this is the name that I want you to give this son. The obedience that Zacharias had was something to marvel at, was something to praise God for what, how he followed God's will. And so after he had written the name, his mouth was opened and his tongue was loose and he could speak again. And then he started the first amazing thing, maybe we should not be amazed at this, but rightfully think of it. It wasn't like, oh, he needed to speak to his wife or tell him all this. But in verse 64, it says, and he praised God. When he had his mouth open, he praised God. And it says in verse 66 that all they that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, what manner of child is this? You know, here the people heard this and they were also amazed. They put this in their hearts. And then it tells us, verse 66 at the last end, it says, and the hand of the Lord was with him, with John the Baptist. Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost. Zacharias was a man that was a priest. He followed the priesthood example. But it tells us that he also prophesied and he also told about what was to come with his son. It says there in verse 67 on that it says that his, as I said, the father was filled with the Holy Ghost and he prophesied and he said, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. And as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him, all the days of our life. And then he says this, and thou, child, he's speaking to his son, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt be go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the dayspring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And then in verse 80, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit and was in the desert to the day of his shewing unto Israel. John was to go ahead and to prepare the way for the Lord. How did John prepare that? What did John do to prepare for Jesus so that the way was ready for him? Making a people aware of what they needed to do. In Matthew records it this way, in Matthew 3, and records it for verse 1 and on, and it says there, and in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Prepare. You see, John was there to prepare the way of the Lord, to go straight, to go forward in only one way. No, nothing to waving to the left or to the right, but to go forward following the Lord. And what was that Jesus came? Jesus came to pay for our sins. Jesus came to make a way for us to be united with God. But John is telling us how we need to do this. John is making that start of teaching people what they need to do in order to get there. So what did he preach? What did John say? What is important? Baptism and repentance. Baptism and repentance is a part of his ministry. In Luke chapter 3, we can read there about John the Baptist. And it tells us, you know, how he, in verse 3, John 3, verse 3, tells us that he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. He's going out there and he's preaching. He's telling the people that they need to repent. They need to repent and be baptized so that their sins can be remitted, so that they can be erased away. And then it says, tells us there in verse 4, as I read already in Matthew, it tells us about that he is one like a prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Make his paths straight. Interesting. What he tells us there, though. As Luke records it, the physician, as he's done some studying with other people to get information of what they know, what happened. And Luke records it that they have said that every valley shall be filled, every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. All flesh shall see it. It's not going to be hidden. No matter how much we can close churches, No matter what we try, God has his way to bring forth that all flesh is going to hear about the salvation of God. He then goes forth. This man, and he said to the multitude that came forth to be baptized, John is pretty brave. John is fairly bold and forward. And he says to them, and he uses strong words to them, he says, O generation, this is Luke chapter 3, verse 7. He says, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Who has warned you? He calls them vipers. He's talking to them that they're destroying the people of their faith. They were leading the people into believing in their works. And here, John is teaching them to have the faith of one to come, and that is Jesus Christ. And they are to repent. They are to change from the error of their ways. It's not their works, it's not the things that they do that will erase their sins. But it takes a heart of acknowledging that we have sinned and then to confess it and to change. John goes on to say, you know what? We have Abraham to our fathers. God is able to move these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And the people then, after he had spoke for a while to them, the people asked him, what shall we do? What should we do? You know, and unto this point, there's a lot of war. There's a lot of things that they would fight between themselves, envy, so on and so forth. But John, I keep going to Paul here. I meant John. He answers them and he says to them in verse 11, he that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none. And he that hath meat, let him do likewise. Then came also publicans to be baptized and said unto him, Master, what shall we do? Interesting how there's more coming and they're requiring or they're searching. What are we to do? And then he says to them, exact no more than that which is appointed to you. The soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, verse 14, and what shall we do? And he said, do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages. And as the people were in expectation, and all men mused in their hearts of John, whether he were the Christ or not, John answered and he said to them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. In other words, what he is saying, I'm not worthy to take the shoes off of Jesus Christ and put them on my feet. He says, I'm not worthy of that. This one that's coming, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and will gather the wheat into his garner, but the chaff he will burn with fire unquenchable. So what was John's message? John's message was to the people, and he says, listen, you need to repent of your sins. You need to change from the errors of your ways. You need to accept this Jesus Christ, the one that I'm not worthy to fill those shoes, but those are his. They are there for you. Purge yourself. Make sure you're clean. Make sure you check yourself fully from front to back and purge yourself. Be clean, because he's going to come and gather the wheat. And he will take that wheat into his garner, but the chaff he will burn. He is warning them already right there that there will be a division between the wheat and the chaff. And he's encouraged them, check yourself, purge yourself. He's warning them of what is to come. So my question is, another question, why was John born? What was the purpose of his coming? It was prophesied already in the book of Isaiah, the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 40, and verse 3. In the verse 3 of Isaiah 40, it says, "The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God." He was the voice, the one to go and warn and prepare the way for Jesus' coming. What are we doing? How are we doing? Are we preparing for Jesus' coming? Are we ready? Are we preparing others? You see, in the text, Luke 1, verse 80, it says, "And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit." You and I, if we've accepted Jesus Christ, and being a child of God, are we growing? Are we finding ourselves waxed strong in spirit? Are we ready when somebody approaches us that we would have words? Listeners, this morning, am I strong enough? Do I have the Word of God in me in such a way that when somebody asks me about salvation or about why this is happening, what the signs are to come, do I have an answer? Can I tell them? John was waxed strong in spirit. That is my point, part of my point today. Are we waxed strong? Are we strong enough to stand? And when all is done, to stand, as Paul talks about. Over the years, yes, I have to say, over the years from when I was a younger man or a child to where I am now, I definitely know God's word more. But do I know it enough to be able to stand? There's a time in our life that we live in the desert. This child, as Luke chapter 1, verse 80 says, "And he was in the deserts to the day of his shewing unto Israel." There's a time in our life that we are not out there preaching the Word of God. And I believe many times that is our childhood years, and there are those that really strongly can show that already in their younger years, but most of us in our childhood years kind of live in that desert time. But now, today, where are we today? Are we already strong enough? Have we built ourselves strong enough during the time that we are in the desert years? Till that day comes that we're supposed to show ourselves, as he says, John showed himself to Israel. Are we strong enough today to show ourselves to the people around us? I believe for myself, I could say, I have failed. And especially during this time that we're going through, I've often bring myself back and think of the fruit of the Spirit that Paul talks about. And the fruit of the Spirit that he talks about is love, peace, joy, long-suffering, meekness. That does not come. Do I have that love? Do I have that peace? Do I have that joy to go forth and to show, as John was shewing unto Israel, do I show that to the people around me in my home area, in my own country, my own province, my own town? Do I show the joy? Do I show the love? Do I show the peace that I have? Or maybe I don't have the peace. John's preaching was repent, for the remission of sins, so that your sins could be remitted. Today, I have a question. Do you feel burdened? Do you feel that you have things upon you that it's hard to go on and show peace and joy and love? Do you feel depressed? Do you feel confused? I want to say this morning, let's be reminded of John. John said, repent. That was number one. Are there sins in your life? Have you accepted Jesus Christ? If not, repent. Repent. Accept Jesus Christ. Take him as your Lord and Savior. Make him part of your life. For John, recorded of John is in Luke 3, as I said before. Verse 16, John answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Do you want the Spirit of the Holy Ghost? Repent of your sins. Open your heart. Allow yourself to be purged thoroughly, as verse 17 tells us in Luke chapter 3. Allow him to come in, Jesus Christ or God himself, to purge you fully. And as you receive the power of the Holy Spirit, to then go forth and to live in that peace and that joy. That peace and joy does not come from the worldly news. That peace and joy comes from the news that was spread by John the Baptist to repent so that your sins can be remitted, and then you will find peace. It does not come when we still have sin in our life. And so this morning, in closing, I want to ask us, as the text tells us, the child grew. Have we grown? Where are we today? This says the child grew and he waxed strong in spirit. What have we grown in? Where have we become strong in? Strong in what type of a life? Is it with Christ? Do we have the Holy Spirit within us? Maybe there's a time that we have lived in the desert time. But now we are to show ourselves to the world around us. Today, while you hear his voice, don't harden your heart, but accept Jesus Christ. Today, make sure that your spirit, the spirit that is within you, is the spirit of God, and the spirit is strong. And go out and show others. That's what John did. He went out. Lord willing, next Sunday, I want to speak about what happened with John's faith, with John, the way he taught. And what are we to do? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning again in closing. Thank you for the word. As I studied this, it made me mindful as a child. How did I grow? How did I do? Did I wax strong in my spirit? Did I become stronger in such a way that when I will be tempted or when I will be tried with the people of the world, that I will have answers of Scripture? Am I strong enough? Lord, is a question that comes to me. Do I know it? Lord, you know best. And I pray, Lord, that you would, for me and those others that are listening this morning, that you would just help us with the Spirit to wax us strong. Give us the desire to look into your word and to rightly divide it, as Timothy talks about in 2 Timothy chapter 2, so we can be strong, sturdy upon the foundation, which is you, Jesus Christ. Thank you, and we just pray for your blessing upon this message, that you will bless it because you are the one that gave it. And I just pray that it would be multiplied to you and that you could get the honor and praise for it. In your precious name we pray. Amen. So this morning, I want to say to you all that have listened, thank you for joining in. And if there's anything this morning that you have picked up, maybe not much, but maybe you picked out a few words. Maybe there's something there that has nudged your spirit this morning. I want to say to you this morning, don't brush it away. If the Spirit is saying to you something this morning that you ought to do, listen to the Word of God. The Spirit came to Zacharias through an angel, Gabriel. He listened. Found it hard to believe, but he listened. And so I want to say this morning, move forward in God's love. And so in closing, I want to close with the benediction, which I find in the book of Jude. And I think it's a very, very powerful words this morning, and I want to share that with you. And I want to call you all this the same thing as Jude says. Jude, verse 20 to the end. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Let's keep ourselves there. Let's look forward. Let's look, continue looking in that mercy that Jesus Christ has for us into eternal life. And during this time that we're here, you and I still have some things that I want to encourage us to do, as Jude says. Of some, let's have compassion. Let's go out, let's make a difference. Let's save those with fear, pulling them out of the fire, the ones that are going to be that chaff. Let's pull them out. Let's help them so that they can be the wheat, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now, an ending, unto him that is able to keep you and me from falling, and to present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Thank you for tuning in. God bless.